Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 22,
2024. Joel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in these last days that we know that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we look at our nation, which currently is your client nation, we see a nation in apostasy and in degeneracy. And yet we're still here by your grace. And the key to whether we continue as your client nation is that we need a spiritual revival, sir. We need to see the grace gospel given throughout our land and believers coming to their senses and getting back into fellowship with you and seeking your word. We pray for our nation. We thank you for one more day of freedom you've given to us. Freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The last half of chapter 3 is really very powerful. First of all, it zeroes in and puts the spotlight on what most people have heard the word, Armageddon. In Joel 3, 9, and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. In Joel 3, 11, and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. And then in Joel 3, 13 to 15, we have the awesomeness of Armageddon. And then in Joel 3, verses 16 and 17, we have the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joel 3, 16 says, "And the Lord will roar like a lion. He will roar like a lion from Zion, and the hill, and he will thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. But the Lord, Jehovah Jesus Christ, is the shelter from danger for his people, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers. And then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, Shachan, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, my holy mountain. And then Jerusalem will be holy, and foreign aggressors will never invade her again. At the second advent, when the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies, her eyes will be opened, and the Jewish remnant will realize that he has been her protector all along. The Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem. And not only will Israel have perfect security, but the whole world will have peace. There will be no more foreign aggressors, no more military invasions into Israel. In fact, man will learn war no more. Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles for centuries. But in the millennial kingdom, her enemies will never oppress her anymore. Jerusalem will be the capital of the entire earth. Jerusalem will be the city of peace because the Prince of Peace will be ruling the entire world. That brings us to the last paragraph of Joel 3. The day of the Lord, with the spotlight on the restoration in the millennial kingdom. Now, the rest of the book of Joel outlines the peace and the blessing which Israel will experience when Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. We've exegeted the first half of verse 18, and it sounds like this. And it will come about in that day. And we noted that in 2 Peter 3:8, that to the Lord, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And the illustration, the millennial kingdom. And it will come about in that day, the 1,000-year millennial reign of the Messiah on planet Earth, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine. And this is symbolic for great economic prosperity and productivity during the millennial kingdom. The climatic conditions on the earth will produce an abundance of food. Isaiah 30, 23 and 24. In fact, Amos 9, 13 and 15 puts it in a very unique way. He says the plowman will overtake the reaper. In the millennial kingdom, the land will be so productive that the plowman who starts in October in Israel will have to wait for the reaper who should have finished in May in Israel. The one who treads grapes in July will find the planter still sowing new seed into the ground by the long-delayed plowman. The grapes will hang so heavy in the mountain vineyard that the hills will keep on dripping new wine. Well, that's our verse 18. So much juice will drip from the vines and overflow from the vats that it will appear like the mountains are softened in mudslides down the slopes. God's restored people, Israel, will live in peace, and they will enjoy lavish abundance, Amos 9:14. The frustration and insecurity of war will be a thing of the past, Isaiah 2:4, Micah 4:3. They will build houses and cities and live in them in peace, Isaiah 32:17 and 18. They will eat and drink and take pleasure in the labor of their hands, Amos 9:14. And God will plant Israel in her own land, never again to be uprooted and exiled from the land that God has given to them. God gave Israel to the Jewish people. It belongs to Israel, it belongs to the Jewish people, it does not belong to any Islamic people, doesn't belong to the Palestinian, does not belong to the Egyptians, does not belong to the Gazans, does not belong to the Lebanese, does not belong to the Iranis, it doesn't belong to any of them. God gave them to Israel. And only to Israel. Only to Israel. And only to the Jewish people. And what you see right now, that part that you call, we call Israel right now, that's not the land that God gave them. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, they will be restored completely to their land. And the land that God gave the Jewish people in Israel goes all the way up to Turkey, all the way down to Egypt, all the way over to Iran. All of that belongs to the Jewish people, to Israel. God gave that to Israel. It belongs to Israel. It doesn't belong to any Islamic people. None. Absolutely zero. It belongs to Israel and the Jewish people. God gave them to them. He gave that land to Israel. He gave that land to the Jewish people. And so all this that's going on is totally satanic. Totally satanic. The attack, and they're being attacked from every north, south, east, and west right now. They're being attacked by satanic peoples. And it's wrong. 100% wrong. And yet the whole world, because who's the ruler of planet Earth? Who is in charge? Satan. What is the number one strategy he has? He's trying to win the angelic conflict. He thinks he's going to win. He's so damn arrogant, he thinks he's going to win the angelic conflict. All he has to do is to annihilate Israel. Destroy the Jewish people, and he wins. And he has been trying to do that right from the beginning. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a member of the royal family of God, in union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you are anti-Semitic in any way, you are a loser. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're part of the problem. You are not a part of the solution. This church supports Israel. We support the Friends of Israel. And we sent a large sum of money to the Friends of Israel to give to the Jewish people in Israel to build bomb shelters. And that money was applied to building bomb shelters in Israel. And we had a person from the Friends of Israel come to the church. He wanted to meet the pastor. He wanted to meet the deacons. He wanted to meet who were the people that gave this sum of money to build bomb shelters in Israel. And he was very appreciative, very, very appreciative. And he was, and Friends of Israel is Orthodox. That's what we are. We're Orthodox. Orthodoxy. We hold to the God-breathed scriptures. Orthodoxy. That is what is real. That's the key. Are you Orthodox? And he, they are Orthodox, and he was very, very, very appreciative and just wanted to come and say thank you and meet the church and see the church, and it was very wonderful. This passage, I hope you understand what is going on now is satanic and evil, trying to annihilate Israel. And they're going all out. And they just keep on going out. But they're not going to succeed. God has four unconditional covenants. He will fulfill them all four unconditional. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, those four unconditional covenants will be fulfilled. And we're seeing that in the end of Joel. We're going to see it again in Zechariah. And I understand that I'm a dinosaur. I am a effing dinosaur. And I still teach from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And I won't tell you who the pastor was. The pastor was talking to my son. Said, is Pastor Olson still, does he teach from the Old Testament? Yes. And the New Testament. And four different books. Because you need the whole realm of doctrine. The whole realm of doctrine. And who? Oh. Wow. Oh, that's something. I'll tell you, it's hard, 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 hard. And especially when you got a bad case of measles. The hardest part for me is just walking down the hall, walking back, getting in my Hummer and out. But once I get in and get cracking, oh, mama, that is the best. That is the best. And keep on. And I don't know. I keep telling Deb, I'm going before you. She says, you don't know that. I said, yes, I do. Well, maybe I really don't fit it. I said, I'm having greater time studying and teaching the Word of God now than I ever have in all the time I've been here. We're just getting started. So, see, I got so excited, my nose started running. See? My nose runs, my feet smell. God made me backwards. See? And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine. And the hills shall flow with milk. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the feminine plural noun give a. If I was good Hebrew, give a. With the definite article, plus the cow imperfect of halak, plus the noun chalav. The vav is a connective vav and translated, and it introduces more of the super prosperity that will be found in that 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And then this Hebrew word, give, looks like that, G-I-B-I-N-A-H. And when the Jewish people pronounced this letter, they would actually close the throat and then open it again. Give, Yes. I'm not Jew, I'm a Norwegian Jew. Give ah means hill in the plural hills with a definite article, the hills, and then we have halak. Now we've had this word many times. You say, I know what that is. That means to walk. Yeah. But not here. How do I know it doesn't mean to walk here? Because how many of you have ever seen milk walk? Have you ever seen water walk? Have you ever seen milk walk? You got to have legs, believe it or not. Deep point, to walk. So, yeah, literally it means to walk, but milk doesn't walk. And it, when you have water or milk, it should be translated flow. The imperfect tense is linear action start, and the hills will keep on flowing. The hills will keep on flowing with chalav. Keep on flowing with chalav. C-H-A-L-A-B, chalav. And chalav is the Hebrew word for milk. And Brown, Driver, and Briggs on page 316 tells us that milk is often used to describe great prosperity. Great productiveness, great prosperity. Now, we know this. There is a phrase that's found over and over and over again in the Old Testament scriptures. It's called flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey. And that phrase describes great prosperity. And that's found in Exodus 3, verse 8, Exodus 3, verse 17, Exodus 13, verse 5, Leviticus 20, verse 24, Numbers 13, verse 27, Numbers 14, verse 8, Numbers 16, verse 14, Deuteronomy 6, verse 3, Deuteronomy 11, verse 9, Deuteronomy 26, verse 9, Deuteronomy 27, verse 3, Deuteronomy 31, verse 20, Joshua 5, verse 6, Jeremiah 11, verse 5, Ezekiel 20, verse 6, Ezekiel 20, verse 15. Now, I'm not going to look up all those passages. We have the phrase, I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. God promises the Jews, not the Egyptians, not the Iranians, not the Palestinians, not the Gazans, not the Lebanese. God promised the Jews, Israel. He would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Every one of those passages have that phrase. So Joel describes the land in the millennial kingdom as flowing with new wine and milk. And this means the millennial kingdom will be a time of super prosperity. There will be tremendous economic growth and prosperity during the millennial kingdom. The perfect climatic conditions will produce an abundance of food all over the world. No one will go hungry. All the food you want. And there will be wine. All the wine. Well, I better not say that. Some of you say, oh, amen. We'll be there too. And you'll be there in the millennium in your resurrection body. And some of you are trying to, let's see, how much wine can I drink in my resurrection body? That's how it works. So perfect climatic conditions will produce an abundance of food. Corrected translation. And it will come about in that day, the day of the Messiah's reign on earth, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine and the hills will keep on flowing with milk. And then we have, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water. There's going to be water, water, water all over planet Earth. Excellent water, great water, water for fields, water for animals, water for people, and it's excellent water. And the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the noun kol, which is joined by a makef to the masculine plural construct of the noun afik, plus the proper noun Yehuda, plus the kal imperfect of halak once again, but this time not with milk, kalav, but with mayim, water. So once again, the vav is the connective vav, and the vav introduces a third very important part of the super prosperity of the millennial kingdom, and that is water. Water. In order to have great agricultural abundance and great ranching abundance, there must be lots and lots of water. And there will be. And then we have kol. Kol means the whole of or all of. And then afik. That's aleph, a, p, h, long I, q. Afik. And afik literally means a channel that holds or confines water. It's used of a river bed. It's used of a stream bed. So a couple of things here. One, in the locust invasion of Joel's day, these stream beds dried up. That was the fourth cycle of national discipline. Economic disaster. So in the locust invasion of Joel's day, these stream beds all dried up. Fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. Two, that foreshadowed the drying up of all the riverbeds in Judah during the Great Tribulation. That foreshadowed the drying up of all the riverbeds in Judah during the Great Tribulation. Three, but following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on the earth, all of these dried up riverbeds will once again flow with water, lots and lots of water. But following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on the earth, all of these dried up riverbeds will once again flow with water. 4. The drought and judgment of the tribulation period is over. The drought and judgment of the tribulation period is over. 5. The millennial kingdom will be a time of great prosperity and blessing. The millennial kingdom will be a time of great prosperity and blessing. There will be an abundance of water on planet Earth. All of the riverbeds in Judah will flow with water. But not just Judah, all over planet Earth there will be lots and lots and lots of water. And then we have the proper noun Yehuda, and Yehuda is transliterated Judah. Judah, Judah, okay. And then we have not Halak Kalav, milk walking. Now we have Halak Mayim, water walking, but we know water and milk don't walk. They will keep on flowing with water. Keep on flowing with water. So corrected translation. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine, and the hills will keep on flowing with milk, and all of the riverbeds of Judah will keep on flowing with water. 1. So, this is saying there will be no drought in the millennial kingdom. No drought in the millennial kingdom. 2, there will be no water shortages in the millennial kingdom. You'll never have the government tell you you can't water on these days, you can only water on those days and stuff like that. You know, that will not be an issue in the millennial kingdom. You can water everybody can have. You can have lawns, and lawns in Las Vegas. You can have lawns. There'll be lots of water. Don't worry about, well, how much is in Lake Mead? Huh? Don't worry about it. Lots and lots of water. But in a way, I like having rocks in my yard. I like that. Because I don't have to mow the lawn. There's a blessing there. And our rocks in our yard are doing great. They're really doing great. 3, there will be an abundance of water for agriculture, for ranching, for recreation, for drinking. There will be an abundance of water for agriculture, for ranching, for recreation. Everybody will have a boat and go water skiing. Well, maybe you don't like water skiing. And for drinking. And then it says, and this is really special, unique, and a fountain. The King James is wrong here. There's no fountain here, but it says in the King James, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the noun ma'yan, plus the cal imperfect of the verb yatsa, plus the preposition min, prefixed to the construct of the noun bayith, plus the tetragrammaton. The conjunction vav, once again, is a connective vav, translated and. The connective vav introduces a totally unique characteristic of the millennial kingdom. A spring will have its origin in the house of the Lord, and it will flow into the valley of Shittim before emptying into the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. Ma'yan. And again, we have that iron. I'm not going to try to close my... Ma'yan. M-A-I-N-A-N. Ma'an. Should have a Y right in there. Ma'yan. Now, Ma'yan does not mean a fountain. It means a spring. And this is a spring that becomes a perennial river. A river flowing through Israel. It starts in the house of the Lord. And it starts out small and becomes a river that runs through, flowing through Israel. And then the verb yatsah Y-A-T-S-A Aleph. Yatsah. And yatsah means to go out. It means to come out. It means to go forth. The imperfect tense has linear action start. That is, this spring will keep on going out. It begins in the house of the Lord, but it will keep on going out. And then the preposition men. M-I-N, men. And men means out from. And then we have bayith. B-A-Y-I-T-H, bayith. That's the Hebrew word house. And then we have our tetragrammaton. Y-H-W-H. Jehovah. Yahweh, if you actually pronounce it. The Lord. So the corrected translation, and a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord. Very unique. It only will occur in the millennial kingdom. And what about this unique and special river? And shall water the valley of Shittim. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the hifil perfect of shaka, plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the noun nachal, plus the noun Shittim with the definite article. Now, this time the conjunction vav is a vav conversive, converting the perfect tense of the verb shaka into an imperfect with strong linear action start. And then we have shaka. S-H-A-Q-A-H, shaka. Now, shaka literally means to water, to give, to drink. The hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. And in the hifil stem, shaka means to cause to drink water, to irrigate the ground, to water the land. To cause to drink water. See, we have the hifil stem in our verse. In the hifil stem, which is the causative stem, it means to cause to drink water or to irrigate the ground or to water the land. And then we have nachal. N-A-C-H-A-L, nachal. And nachal is a wadi or a valley. And then we have Shittim. That's S-H-I-T-T. There's the doubling of the doggish. Long I-M, Shittim. Now, Shittim means acacias. Acacias. So the corrected translation, and a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating, it will keep on watering the valley of the acacias. And the spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating, keep on watering the valley of the acacias. So this is really a neat verse describing the millennial kingdom. Verse 18 now sounds like this. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, the 1,000-year millennium, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine, and the hills will keep on flowing with milk, great prosperity, and all of the riverbeds of Judah will keep on flowing with water, and a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating, watering the valley of the acacias. One, God gave the land of Canaan to Israel as an everlasting possession in an unconditional, eternal covenant. God gave the land of Canaan to Israel as an everlasting possession in an unconditional, eternal covenant. Two, God gave this land to Israel in both the Abrahamic and the Palestinian covenants. Two, there are four unconditional covenants. Those are two of the four unconditional covenants to Israel. Turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, starting at verse 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt. So this land goes all the way from Egypt. That's the river of Egypt. That's the Nile River. I know you all know that. To the great river, the Euphrates. That goes all the way to the east from way far from what is Israel today. All the way over to the Euphrates. So from the Nile River, the river of Egypt, to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites, that's Turkey. The Hittites, that's all the way up to Turkey. The Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. That all God says belongs to you, Abraham, and your descendants, the Jewish people. And God gave it to them. Then look over at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, verse 7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Absolute. Three. When the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent, he will redivide the land among the redeemed of Israel. When the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent, he will redivide the land among the redeemed of Israel. And this is in Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 1 through 7, and Ezekiel 48, 23 to 27, and I'm not going to turn there and read that up, but I encourage you, when you get home, go through this. Point 4, there will also be a 34 square mile middle section set aside for the priests, the Levites, the temple, and the prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And that's Ezekiel 48, 8 to 22. That's in the middle section. So there will also be a 34 square mile middle section set aside for the priests, the Levites, the temple, and the prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Five. Many topographical changes will take place in the land during this time. Many topographical changes will take place in the land of Israel, all the way up to Turkey, all the way down to Egypt, all the way over to the Euphrates. That's all belongs to Israel. And there will be many topographical changes taking place in the land during this time. So let's take a look at some of those. First of all, one, when the Lord sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, it will divide. There will be a huge earthquake. And scientists have already studied this. The Mount of Olives has a huge fault line that runs right through the middle of the Mount of Olives. Scientists know that. It's just waiting for one thing. It's waiting for the second advent and Jesus Christ's feet to touch down. And when it does, a huge earthquake, and it will divide in two. So when the Lord sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, it will divide. A major fault line runs through the Mount of Olives, and it will form a huge valley east of Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. So let's Turn over to Zechariah. That's our next book after Joel, Zechariah. And I have been having a ball in Zechariah. Oh, we got so many great things in Zechariah. There's going to be a courtroom in heaven. And the high priest, he was the high priest. He's a Levite. He was living in captivity in Babylon. And he was a high priest that was a reversionistic high priest. Zechariah says he's covered with excrement. Now, if you don't know what excrement is, come back and meet me in my office. I'll try to explain with other words. Although, there are some good words like poop. That doesn't offend anybody, does it? Poop. Oh, Pastor Olson said the P word. Joshua the high priest is said to be covered with excrement. He's a reversionist. He has sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. And you see, there is an attorney named Satan who comes before God and makes accusation about believers. He has a G2. He has a card file on every one of you. Every one of you. Satan has a card file. He has the greatest G2 system. Intelligence. And he's got demons underneath him. And they're collecting a card file on every one of you. And Satan goes before God and accuses you. And he accused Joshua. He's covered with excrement. There's no way he should be allowed to be a high priest. In fact, you ought to stop building the temple, rebuilding the temple. Stop, because you have no high priest. If you have no high priest, you should have no temple. If you have no temple, then Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, will not dwell there. He knows what he's doing. But there is a defense attorney. And the defense attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're taught about Jesus Christ as a defense attorney in the New Testament. And Satan makes his attacks, and then the defense attorney comes in and throws it all out. And declares, I have paid for every one of those sins, accusations you've made. I paid for every one of them on the cross. They're done. They're over with. And that's really, I'm looking forward to Zechariah. Zechariah 14, verse 4. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, a great earthquake from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. So, secondly, in these topographical changes, the land will be transformed like the Arabah. The land will be transformed like the Arabah. Now you're in Zechariah 14. Look down at Zechariah 14, verse 10. Verse 10, the whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah. But Jerusalem will be raised up. It will be raised up and remain in its place from the Benjamin gate to the site of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses. So there's two things going on here. But first we're looking at the land will be transformed like the Arabah. Now that phrase, like the Arabah refers to the low plain stretching from below Mount Hermon down the Jordan River Valley and the Dead Sea onto the Gulf of Aqaba. It is a low plain. This will help make Jerusalem more prominent, for as the Arabah, that's dropped down in the low plain, Jerusalem is raised up, and the spotlight is put on Jerusalem because that's where the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is ruling planet Earth. That's lifted up, the spotlight put on Jerusalem. The rest is dropped down into the Arabah. So the land will be transformed like the Arabah. And this will help make Jerusalem more prominent as the capital city of the great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Arabah is a geographical name for the plain that stretches from the Sea of Galilee through the Jordan Valley to the Dead Sea, an area ranging from 650 to 1,300 feet below sea level. From 650 feet to 1,300 feet below sea level. Zechariah uses this comparison to show how the land will be depressed into a great plain stretching from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. This area was originally given to Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. So, subpoint three of these many topographical changes. Jerusalem will be lifted up. Jerusalem will be lifted up, elevated. The spotlight, God is putting the spotlight on Jerusalem and enlarged to give it an exalted position, since it is to become the geographical center of the earth during the millennial kingdom. Jerusalem will become the geographical center of the earth during the millennium. Subpoint four. There the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will place the millennial temple and his throne. There the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will place the millennial temple and his throne. Now I got a lot of passages I want to take you to, but we're done for tonight. We'll pick it up. This is really cool. It's really cool. Now, I'm dating myself. Cool. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.